Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi folks, all of you out there in quarantine lockdown. It is so nice to be able to, quote, see you right now. I wished I could see you in person, but especially during these days when you are hopefully looking for things to listen to and do and crafts with the kids and all that, I'm especially glad for you taking some time to talk with us and at least listen here on Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host of the program and the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. On the line with me today is I'm proud to say, dear friend and also, well, somebody we probably need to talk to in these days, Tracy Balzer. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you.
Tracy, you made the bad mistake of being on Facebook today.
Yeah,
and I saw you, like, and you posted this wonderful post about the need for contemplation and solitude and all kinds of things like that. And I thought, I got to snag her, because here's the thing. I suspect that a lot of people right now are wondering, what do I do? Where do I turn? And I thought, Tracy Balzer is exactly who I need to speak to. So thanks for letting me snag you for a few minutes.
Sure. It is true. Like, you post things and then you never know where they're going to go.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that it landed with you.
Folks, I want to tell you just a little bit about Tracy. She is the director of Christian formation at John Brown University in Arkansas. She has written some wonderful books, including Thin Places, about Celtic spirituality. And I'm proud to say that she came out here to Sacramento to do a retreat with our folks a couple of years. I guess it's been 2 years now, Tracy.
I think it has been, yep.
And I have to say, once again, that it was life-changing. And listen to me, church. If you want to get immersed into Celtic spirituality, if you want to do something good, you've got to get in touch with Tracy. Certainly read one of her books. But oh my, Tracy, what you did with our folks.
Oh, it was such my pleasure. That was a delightful group. And there is nothing like being together with people who are like-minded and hungry and curious and just eager to talk about the things of God. And I am always happy to do that kind of thing.
Tracy, before we jump in to talk about what you were posting about today on Facebook, just tell people a little bit about who you are, what you do, where you do your thing, and maybe a little bit about how you're coping these days with this dreadful thing that we're all having to go through.
Sure. Yeah, those are loaded questions. So I'll see if I can quickly answer the first one. So who I am, you mentioned my title, Director of Christian Formation. I do that at a relatively small Christian university called John Brown University in Northwest Arkansas. I've been doing that for 23 years. And that's just where I feel like I have the best job in the world. I get to walk with students and help design programming that helps them listen to God, pay attention to God. You know, the college years are just such formative years. Mm-hmm. And so it is a real honor to be able to walk with them through that. Of course, we're doing that virtually now, so the challenge has even gotten larger for sure. But then on the side, I definitely do some writing, and really all of my ministry, whether it's in the college setting or with its folks like your group, or whether it's in writing, I really feel that I have been called to listen to God and listen to people. And some of that I do better than at other times. You know, it's like, so like right now in this time that is just so bizarre that we find ourselves in, what does it look like to listen to God and to be aware of his presence in the midst of this confusion? Recognizing that, you know, every day for me is different. There are some good days and some really not good days. Some days that I just feel like more confusion than certainty or clarity. And then other days like not so bad. And I'm grateful and I recognize beauty in the world. And so it's a real unsettling time.
Well, there's a method to my madness in snagging you today, because on the Facebook, as we call it back home, you wrote, "It's been a rough week. Give yourself permission to ponder. Look for beauty. Hold on to hope. The author of all things is calling you." And when I reached out to you to say, "Hey, you want to do a radio thing?" Your first response was, "Oh, man." And that's exactly the place that I think a lot of folks are right now, Tracy. And so I thought, wow, what a good conversation. When you're kind of in an ugh place, here's somebody, folks, who knows something about Celtic spirituality. And can you walk us through some things we can do to give ourselves permission to ponder? Because I absolutely believe that you have a word for us. So minister to us, would you?
Yeah, sure. I think what it's telling us is that all of the usual ways that we have sort of managed our spiritual life are just not working right now, quote unquote working, you know, whatever working means. And to simplify that is that we want to be connected with God. And all of the ways that I'm used to being connected with God have really been sort of gone away. Like for me, one of the ways I connect with God is that I get to gather with our entire student body. That's about 1,000 students every Tuesday and Thursday morning for worship, for listening to the word, for being together, encouraging each other. That is gone. Right. Okay. Everybody listening to this, they're likely used to gathering with their church family on Sunday morning. That has totally changed. We've had to adjust the way we do that to on screen. And we're all already now, after about 6 weeks or so, saying like, okay, that was a novelty at first. Now it's getting really old. And we're getting that sort of that screen fatigue, which I think is so ironic because, you know, for so long we've all been on our screens for too long anyway. But now we're realizing that it's harder to connect to each other and to God via an artificial means. You know, we're meant to be together. And so, wow, what is left? I certainly have my Bible. That's good. It might be harder for me to connect with the Word of God right now just because of the confusion. So what does that leave me? And I think my post this morning was really in response, a very genuine response to some time I just spent out on my front porch today. I have kind of joked on social media, not really joked, but I mean in sort of a lighthearted way, saying that's been my office lately. I've been out on my front porch. I'm very fortunate here in Northwest Arkansas. Like we've got about an acre and a half in our little spot of the world. So I've got a big front yard, a big backyard, and I've got a big front, southern front porch. And I sit there and I can do my work. And this morning as I sat there, I just was marveling again at the fact that this is all happening at one of the best times of year seasonally. As I'm sitting there, I get to look at fresh spring green trees everywhere. We have woods right across the street from us that are not filled with houses and whatever. And in Northwest Arkansas, we have a delightful collection of songbirds. And we put out our bird feeders, and I just sit there and watch them and listen to them. It is a chorus around me. And it just occurred to me that in this time of pandemic, or whatever time of crisis that you might find yourself in at any time in life, we all know Jesus told us, you will have trouble in this world. So how often that trouble can easily overcome our ability to see what is still beautiful and true in the world. And so this morning I listened to a passage from Genesis about the creation of the world and how God made it all good and beautiful. And the question posed to me in that particular guided meditation, and the question was, in these strange days, how is creation speaking to you of the goodness of God? How is creation speaking to you of the goodness of God? And I just sat there and I just watched these birds and I thought, you know, why did God decide to give them all a different song? You know, why don't they all sound the same? Why did God make them all look differently? They're just birds. And it forced me to sort of step away from the demands of this current situation, which is global and serious and troubling, no question, but very much in the same spirit of the ancient Celtic Christians who were able to look at creation and remember that what God made around us is still good, that to not let us be blinded to what is still beautiful, still life-giving, still bearing his fingerprints in a way that help us connect with him. But, you know, it's like you have to kind of force yourself to not let your soul and your mind be taken over by what is so troubling in the world.
I'm hearing little themes in there that sound like they either are or can be connected very easily to Celtic spirituality. And I want to go to that next. But first, let me remind folks that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith. It's a weekly program brought to you by Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. My name's Chris Alford. I'm the pastor. As always, we love for you to zip over to the website. It's epiclesis.org. On the phone with me today is a friend and colleague and somebody who's really good to talk to, especially in times like this, Tracy Balzer. She's the director of Christian formation at John Brown University. And as I mentioned before, an expert in Celtic spirituality. I was supposed to have gone with you to Iona last summer. That trip didn't make. I still want to do that. But folks, I came into contact with Tracy through her wonderful work, Thin Places, about Celtic spirituality. You've written other books and other works, and that one's actually been some time ago. But what I thought it might be interesting to do in our remaining moments is to connect some of the things that you were talking about with Celtic spirituality. Could you just talk for a moment, just to kind of give a little thumbnail for folks who might not be familiar? What in the world is Celtic spirituality? And then let's go back and try to connect some of these things.
Sure. Let's see. How can I just summarize this and get to the real crux of it? I think when we talk about Celtic Christianity, we have to place it in a particular time and a particular place in the world. Okay, so particular time, we are talking about certainly pre-Christian days, but slightly post. So in the earliest days of the church, and we're placing it geographically in Ireland and then eventually Scotland and England. So the British Isles, you can kind of think of that. And what's so fascinating to me about how this whole story began, and by the way, I always am very quick to let people know, like, if you're really interested in this, you need to start with Thomas Cahill's book, How the Irish Saved Civilization.
A wonderful, wonderful book.
It's so accessible, and his writing is excellent, and it really gives a good overview of what was going on in history and why it was so important spiritually, and why, like, his title is a little bit hyperbolic, but, you know, How the Irish Saved Civilization. But he means to be a little bit cheeky there. I think that what we got out of this time is not only Christianity, but also literacy.
Oh, yeah.
So those are two things that really connect us to what is most important, right? So what's really interesting about the Celtic story is that it began in total paganism. But these pagans just naturally, and I believe it's because of the Spirit of God working in them, in spite of their lack of understanding of the true gospel, they had within them, you know, that desire, how scripture tells us, you know, he has placed eternity in our hearts. So these pagans, what they really did was, while they were very pantheistic, they saw God and gods in multiple places, but what they really did was connect with the created world. And so when the word of the gospel came to them through people like St. Patrick and others, they were able to see that, okay, the beauty that we see around us, we don't see God as the mountains are not God, the trees are not God, but that God actually created them. And he used those things to speak to us about himself. We see that in the first chapter of Romans, you know, that everything that was made is meant to speak to us about the invisible qualities of God. So, you know, when Patrick and others brought the gospel to these pagans, it was amazing how quickly they adopted it, became Christians, because it made so much sense to them. Like, here's the God who made all of these things. This is the missing piece, in a sense. And so what we learned then from the Christian practices there from that point on is that it was very communal. The Christians in Ireland and then in Scotland, they worshiped together. They learned together because they began to preserve the scriptures and teach people to read. So that, of course, gave them a lot of power in their ability to connect with God in new ways, being able to read his scriptures. But the fact that they lived in such a beautiful place, Ireland is just spectacular.
Indeed.
And all of the British Isles are just filled with such natural beauty that speak to us about God. And so in its purest sense, I would say what Celtic Christianity has taught me is about the immanence of God.
God
that
with
yes,
us.
He is yes. transcendent. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is far above all we could ever comprehend. But he has also made himself through the incarnation of Jesus himself and through the creation of the world. He has made himself known, and he has reminded us that even in this time of pandemic, he is with us. He walks with us. I've thought so much about Psalm 23, that very familiar psalm that so many of us learned as we were children, you know, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because you are with me. And it has struck me that it doesn't say, though I stand in the valley of the shadow of death, it says, I walk, I am moving, and yeah. God is moving with us, and he will take us through to the other side. So Celtic Christianity is teaching me how to be more aware of the presence of God, even in this dark time.
And maybe especially in dark times. So what I'd like to do is go back and connect some of these things that you wrote in your Facebook post with a little something-something, a little nugget. Can you give us a little insight in how we can incorporate some of these ideas and thoughts and so on into our spirituality?
Sure.
So you said it's been a rough week. Give yourself permission to ponder. Okay, what in the world does that mean? And is there a Celtic tie-in there to that, you think?
I think what has been presented to me in this time is that I have a choice. I have the choice. God has given me a will and a mind to think about what is it that I want to actually take into my mind and take into my soul. And so what that has meant is that no matter how much I might really enjoy listening to the news, I have had to cut down on that. It doesn't mean that I want to be in denial of what's happening in the world. I do pay attention to what's going on, but I just have to, it's like deciding what you're going to eat every day. You know, what's going to be nourishing to me? Yeah. Sitting and listening to the news for a couple hours or whatever, or just scrolling online, reading headline after headline, story after story, is not nurturing to me. It's not life-giving to me.
No.
Conversely, I think I need to sit and watch the birds for a while.
Right.
I need to notice what is growing and what is new. We just have beautiful flowers that are growing right now. Again, like, how thankful are we that this is happening in the spring and not in the middle of January, where,
wow,
you know, the folks in Wuhan, they had to do that. And it must have been just so soul sucking for them. So, you know, I have to be grateful for what I have, be careful of what I consume, and pay attention. I think that's what the Celts really have taught me, is like,
wow,
how to be attentive to what is life-giving.
Well, you write, look for beauty, hold on to hope. That strikes me very Celtic, but also,
yeah,
even though it may sound like a, well, yeah, that's what we ought to do, it's hard, isn't it, to look for
it
and
really
focus
is
on beauty and then hold on not to, say, the nightly news or something else or fear, but to hope, yes?
Yeah, I think the Celts, because they learned how to recognize the imminence of Christ, is that they were able to look not only at what was right in front of them, but to be able to see beyond, to see a kingdom vision that was somewhat invisible. Like, there's a real irony here, like teaching us how to see, but also how to see beyond. And that, of course, requires that we just remain steeped in the scriptures, yeah. That what we see, this vision that we have been given, is in the scriptures. So we take seriously what we can see right in front of us, just absorb the beauty that is around us, whether that's through music or excellent writing or the beauty of the natural world. But then we also remember that there is something beyond, and that what is beyond is good and beautiful and hopeful. So that's where our hope is.
Some of what you're talking about there reminds me of your wonderful work called Thin Places, which, again, folks, I really want to encourage you to get on the Amazon or somewhere and find Thin Places by Tracy Balzer. We really can have and find a thin place on our front porch, can't we, Tracy?
Sure, absolutely. I think that's what it's there for, you know. And if you don't have a front porch, you know, you find another place where it is quiet. I loved visiting your chapter house when I was there.
Thank you.
You know, we may not have access to our church sanctuaries, but there are all kinds of little sanctuaries around us. And we're actually being told to socially distance. So, like, take advantage of that and find a place. You know, I know I have friends who are limited to their literally 650 square foot apartment in New York City.
Mercy.
I just, like, I can't imagine what that is like. But they find ways, you know. You find ways to curl up with a book. This is why Jesus said, go into your closet, you know, like, you have a closet.
Yeah.
Find a place where you are away from the distractions of the world. And at risk of just being really self-promotional, I do also have a book called Permission to Ponder that digs into this a little bit more. So, you know, between Thin Places and Permission to Ponder, there's another book in between there called A Listening Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually got one at the publisher right now that will come out next year.
Yeah.
That is called Journey of Sea and Stone, How Holy Places Guide Us and Renew Us. And so that is where I talk quite a lot about my reflections on places like Iona. But you don't have to go to a distant island to find those holy places. You know, it just means that we have to be intentional about finding places where we can be away from the voices that would call us away from God, and do whatever it takes to help us be attentive to God.
Yeah, your last line there was, the author of all things is calling you. So, folks, we do need to give ourselves permission to ponder and look for beauty and hold on to hope. Otherwise, we might miss the call, right? And speaking of which, I'm so glad you took my call today, because you know what? You, as we say back in East Tennessee, have propped me up on my leaning side today. I'm so grateful.
I've never heard that before.
I'm grateful. Yeah. And I know you've ministered to folks too here. Tracy Balzer has been my guest. She's the director of Christian Formation at John Brown University. Tracy, bless you, and thank you for joining me.
It is my pleasure. Anytime.
Folks, until we gather for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to think about this, especially in light of today's conversation. Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, friends. This is Pastor Chris. One more word, please, before you go. Wanted to let you know that during this difficult time of the COVID-19 virus, we are not gathering at Epiclesis in body, but we are virtually in body because we share the same head, Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in hearing more about our virtual worship services or special small groups or prayer services, please check out epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. Stay safe and the Lord be with you.